I want to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 26 to 29. Getting back to the parables, this parable and a few others over the next couple of weeks. So Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. You probably have on your Bible the parable of the seed growing or something to that effect. And so let's read this parable together. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." This is a very simple parable. I hope that you don't get disappointed with the simplicity of the parable, but that God helps you afresh to take hold of the wonderful, significant truth that is expressed in this parable this morning. When Jesus began his ministry, he preached, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Jesus came preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand. And his message was repent and believe the gospel. That's our message today. Repent and believe the gospel. Not just believe the gospel, but repent from your sin and believe the gospel. Just had a real deeper understanding of the need for repentance just this week and thinking about the gospel. And that would be another message that could be preached this morning, but I don't want to get off track. But repentance is an important part of the whole message of the gospel that we preach. Jesus came not only to announce the coming of the kingdom, but also to bring to fulfillment the Old Testament promises of the kingdom of God. When Jesus came to earth, he came as the king and established the kingdom of God on earth. So Jesus came as the king, but he also came to establish the kingdom of God on earth. As the ministry of Jesus progressed, he taught the crowds only in parables. The parables which Jesus taught were truths about the kingdom of God. The parables are about the kingdom of God. We might draw many lessons from the parables of Jesus, but ultimately they're teachings about the kingdom of God. So it's good to remember that when we're studying the parables. They're about the kingdom of God. They're about the coming king, Jesus. They're about the coming and growing kingdom of God, which was already on earth when Jesus came. And these parables also teach us about behavior in the kingdom of God. Just remind you, because it's been a while since we've been looking at these parables, that Jesus taught in parables to conceal the truth from those who were listening to him teach. Jesus taught in parables to conceal the truth. When the disciples asked Jesus why he spoke to the crowds in parables, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." By speaking in parables, Jesus concealed the truth from the religious leaders. By not openly speaking the truth, Jesus prevented his enemies from directly accusing him of false teaching and of prohibiting his ministry. Speaking in parables allowed Jesus to teach truth and yet not be charged with direct statements of heresy against the religious leaders. It's interesting, when Jesus was brought before the council in order to be judged and put to death, they had a very difficult time finding any charge to bring against him. And they finally settled on the charge. He said he was going to destroy the temple in 3 days and then build it up. And they didn't even recognize that he was speaking not about the physical temple, but about his own body. So he spoke in parables, and they couldn't really bring a direct charge to him. And he hid his teaching in these parables. By speaking in parables, Jesus also concealed the truth from the common people. The hearts of the crowds were hard. Their ears were deaf to the truth. Their eyes were blind. They didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah of Israel. By speaking in parables, Jesus challenged the crowds to think about what he was teaching. Speaking in parables had God's future grace in mind for those who listened. They were not forced to make a decision about Jesus as they listened, but could go away considering what Jesus had said. And then later, when people understood through his death and resurrection and the preaching of the gospel, they would remember these parables and they would understand what he was coming to speak to them. So in speaking to them in parables, he was being gracious and merciful to them, not forcing them to a decision at this time when he was speaking, but knowing that in the future they would understand more and respond to him and then unpack these parables and the truths and the teachings in these parables. All right, back to the parable, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. In this parable, Jesus is going to give us a picture of what the kingdom of God is like. A picture of what the kingdom of God is like. And there's a number of parables like this. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. We're going to look at another one next week. The kingdom of God is like a treasure buried in the ground. And hopefully after that, the kingdom of God is like a pearl. And we wonder, what's the pearl? What's the treasure? Well, you'll have to wait for next week as we unpack that. But for now, we're looking at this picture of the kingdom of God, a very simple picture, a picture of a man who plants a seed, and that seed grows and eventually is full grown to maturity and is harvested. That's the picture of the kingdom of God. Nothing complicated here, no hidden meanings stuck in, just the natural process of a seed growing as a picture of the kingdom of God on earth. Let's look at some of the details of the parable, and then we'll draw some conclusions at the end. So in the parable, there is a man. This man does not represent Jesus. This man does not represent an evangelist. This man is no one in particular, just a man in the parable. We're to focus on the growth process in the parable, not the specific man in the parable. The statement that the man sleeps and rises night and day is not a statement about the man's laziness. It's just a statement of the process of time that's taking place as the seed is planted and grows and bears the kernels and is finally coming to harvest. The parable points out the fact that the growth of the seed is not because of the man's activity. All he does is get up and go back to sleep. He doesn't necessarily do anything to the seed, and we'll see a little bit later how that's reinforced. It says the man does not even know how the process of growth is taking place. He can see it. It's happening before his eyes, but he really has no explanation for what's taking place. The man takes part in the harvest when the plant is ready. The language of harvest used in the parable takes the words from Joel 3:13, and I didn't put that in your bulletin. I'm sorry about that. And also looks forward to Revelation 14, verses 14 and 15, which speaks of the final judgment of God. So the man scattered seed, watched it grow without knowing how the growth would take place, and reaped the harvest. The focus in the parable is on the growth of the seed and the certainty that the seed will grow into a harvest. There's a certainty in this whole parable, and you'll see why that is so a little bit later. So there's a man. There's also a seed. Now, it'd be really nice to say the seed is the Word of God. The parable just before this is about the four soils, and it says specifically in that parable that the seed is the Word of God. And so, you know, we usually, when we see words, we start, oh, well, that's the Word of God. That says seed. It's got to be the Word of God. Well, in this case, I don't see the seed as being the Word of God. The Word of God is important. in the advancement of the kingdom of God. But in this case, the seed is really representative of the kingdom of God. That's what the parable is about. The growth of the kingdom of God. And that seed is really representative of the whole kingdom of God and not just the word of God. The seed sprouts and grows. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As I drive the grandkids to school every day, I can begin to see the fields are turning green. They were brown just maybe a month ago, and now they've got little green things coming up, and they're all in line, so I can tell that they've been planted there. And I expect that as I keep driving, I'll see more and more. And in the fall, I'll see full field of corn as I drive by those fields. Those seeds are certain to grow into the plant that are within the seed. The seed sprouts and grows, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. Like a single seed, the kingdom of God grows and multiplies, and one day a final harvest will take place. And then we have the ground. In verse 28, Jesus says, "The earth produces by itself." And the word translated by itself is the word automate, automatic. That's where we get our English word automatic from. The growth process of the seed is an automatic process. In the seed is the power to grow, and once in the ground, that power is released and growth is automatic. And again, certain. You plant a seed, you expect to get the crop, and the crop is indeed going to come. In this parable, Jesus is teaching his disciples that the kingdom of God has come to earth and that the process of growth in the kingdom of God is underway. In time, the growth of the kingdom will become evident to everyone, and one day the kingdom of God will reach its fullness when the Lord returns. In this parable, Jesus expressed the certainty that the kingdom of God had come to earth, the process of steady growth that would take place, and the assurance that the kingdom of God would reach its full growth by the power of God. I told you, it's a very simple parable. It tells us a very simple thing. The kingdom of God is planted, the kingdom of God will grow, the kingdom of God will reach its fullness, and there will be an end to the process. To us, the teaching in this parable is not new or amazing, but a simple statement of fact and a reminder of what we already know. I wish it was more amazing. And hopefully, as you think about it today, it will be amazing. But when we read it, it's not that amazing. We kind of try to look for other things in this parable, and there's really no other thing there except this statement that the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is growing, it can be seen, and it will come to an end in its fullness when God so chooses. For those who were listening and understood what Jesus was saying, this parable was a revelation of the fulfillment of the long-awaited promises of God. For those in the early church and to us today as well, this parable was and is God's assurance that the kingdom of God on earth, which came in Jesus Christ, is growing and will be brought to its final and full conclusion. What this parable does for us today is give us absolute certainty that God is working in the present and that God will complete all he has planned for the future. In the midst of a world in upheaval, it is good to know that God's promises and purposes are being fulfilled and are certain. Throughout the history of the church, there have been skeptics who have pointed out that the world has not changed for thousands of years. They've pointed out that the promised coming of Christ has not materialized and that things have continued to go on as they have for many years. In the chapter that I read at the beginning of the service, there's this verse in 2 Peter 3:4. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Have you heard that from other people? You've told them, "Well, Jesus is coming." Where is the promise of his coming? People have been saying that for 2,000 years. It's still not here. People will say it for another 1,000 years, and it still won't happen. Where is the promise of His coming? They're saying, we don't see any evidence of the kingdom of God established or growing in this world. Who are you trying to fool with all this talk of the kingdom of God on earth? So we've got the skeptics that are just saying, oh yeah, 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 yeah. On the other hand, there are those who believe in the progress of evolution, that man is slowly progressing towards a utopian society, a new world order where science and knowledge will bring sickness and poverty and economies and nature under control and create a global peace and health and prosperity for all. I'm sure you've heard that. Much of this New Age movement is this into the New Age, coming to the new man. History is moving toward a paradise on earth, even though it may take another 1,000,000 years to get there. When we just add more time, we'll eventually get there. This parable has the answer to both of these false claims. Jesus says that the kingdom of God, full of peace and joy, will only come by the work of God through Jesus Christ. Only those who choose to be in the kingdom of God see the kingdom of God growing and reaching its fullness. In this parable, we have God's assurance that His kingdom has come, and we have the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to validate this promise that one day there will be a fullness of the kingdom of God to come. The promise of God's established kingdom is the theme of Scripture, and the final coming of that kingdom is described in the book of Revelation. The skeptics are blind to the process of God's maturing kingdom. The lie of evolution looks to man and not to God for a future paradise. But it is God who is sovereignly working in the present growth of the kingdom of God and will bring it to His desired end. And I pray that you are in God's kingdom and participating in God's kingdom work. So how does this parable help me today? How can I use the teaching of this parable in my own life? Well, I've got three suggestions here. We know that when we plant a seed, we will reap a harvest. We are sure that at the first coming of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God came to earth. The king and the kingdom of God came to earth. We know that with the first coming of Jesus Christ came the promise of the full harvest. Jesus Christ is called the first fruit in different places in Scripture. A first fruit of a full harvest of sons. We know that in Jesus Christ is the certain destiny of God's people and my certain destiny in the kingdom of God. This is not a desire, a wish, I hope this will happen, but a certainty, as certain as the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why John can write in his letters, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." There's a great hope in knowing the certainty of the growing and fullness of the kingdom of God to come. Paul writes this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then as I have been fully known." And we long and anticipate that time when that kingdom will be full, not only in our own lives, but in the whole plan of God. My brothers and sisters, your future in the kingdom of God is guaranteed by what God has already done in Christ. Criticism of the skeptics and the lies of evolution cannot take that assurance away from you. Number two, the parable teaches me to see what is not yet fulfilled and to patiently wait for the fulfillment. That's difficult sometimes. We are to see what God is doing and not only what appears before us. People may mock us by asking, "Where is your God in this tragedy? Why is evil winning in the world?" And I'm sure you all have, as I have, said, you know, it does look like evil is winning in this world. It does look like God has lost his power. It does look like God has gone to sleep and is not paying much attention. And this parable counteracts that. God has begun his kingdom. God is working his kingdom, and his kingdom will reach its fullness as he has purposed. Why does not God bring justice into the world? In light of this parable, we must answer that God's kingdom has come, that God's kingdom is being established, and that God's kingdom will one day reach its fullness, even though we do not know at present how this is being worked out in detail. We see seeds growing and fruit maturing and look for the final harvest to come. Like Paul, we do not lose heart. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. As John writes, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And then the third thing, and I just actually added this morning, so if you're looking up the notes online, it won't be in those notes. As I found this reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, two verses stuck out, verse 11 and verse 14. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, and he's talking about the world just coming to an end, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? And then verse 14, very similar statement. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. If the kingdom of God has been established, if the kingdom of God is indeed growing according to God's plan, if that kingdom will indeed come to an end in the complete fulfillment of how God has purposed it, you should live in a certain way and respond in your choices in a certain way every day in light of this absolute and certain truth that God has told us about. So what is going to control your choices today and this week? Will what seems to be happening in the world and what the world teaches us true control your life choices? Or will the reality of the established and growing kingdom of God be the controlling reality in your life? What is the controlling reality in your life? Not what you just say because you know it's the right thing to say, but what is the controlling reality in your life? Are you looking toward the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God? Or are you looking to this world for hope? Are you seeing him who is invisible and the kingdom he is building? Or do you only see the world economies and world leaders and science at work? May God grip us with the reality that he has come to earth and set up his kingdom in Jesus Christ, and that by the Holy Spirit his kingdom is growing according to his plan, and that we can be part of that great plan, and that one day God's kingdom will be fully established on earth as it is in heaven. You can join in that sure and certain plan, or you can dilly-dally in this world. What a privilege to be called by God, to know and to see this truth, and to be part of his growing kingdom. I can't think of a higher privilege than that. We are to live our lives in the certainty of the present and coming kingdom of God. Very simple parable. Jesus is just saying the kingdom's been planted, the kingdom's going to grow, it's going to reach its fullness, it's going to accomplish its purposes, and then it'll come to an end. You can be part of that plan, or you can just think it's a nice idea. And that, the choice, is really in each of our hands.